Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You know, we were talking about the prophets, and one of the things that when you're talking about the prophets is that the prophets talked about Jesus Christ coming. Okay, they talked about the Messiah coming, and they looked unto that redemption that he had. And I highlight this because it's so easy to get bound up in so much garbage, I should say. And one of the things that, you know, I've been listening to has been the understanding spiritual gifts, which has been great, and I'm sure that it's been suggested for you guys to listen to. Hope that's a little bit better. It sounded weak there. For you guys to listen to, and it's a very good, very good teaching. And I would, you know, I'm probably going to listen to it again because me and my, I'll miss things. I'll go back and listen to it and catch things again. I'm sure I can listen to it again and catch some more things that are in there. But one of the things that I want to highlight is that, look, I mean, you are saved through grace. You are saved through grace. And a lot of times we can see people can get hung up on the fact of how well they do, how well they perform, how well they listen, how well all these things, and can get very much hung up on all that stuff and forget that it's by what that you're saved? By grace that you are saved. Not that listening to the Lord is not important. That's not what I'm getting at. But it's that you are only going to be saved and your salvation only lies because of what Jesus Christ has done. By what Jesus Christ has done. And he paid that price. He paid that ultimate price for you, for me, for the sins of the whole world. He paid that price. And that was love. One of the things, and the reason why I'm mentioning understanding the spiritual gifts part is because it has been a time that I know that and he gets to where Davey starts talking about 1 Corinthians 13. And you guys can go ahead and turn there. And I love this. And, you know, talking to Robin a little bit yesterday was highlighting some points on that, which was a very much a blessing to speak to her. I'm glad I have had talked to her. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And I wanted to highlight that point because it is a place of for us to yet walk in and understanding that love of Christ that was given to us. Hey, you know what scripture comes to mind? He goes, Christ died while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were at our worst, Christ died for us. And our salvation is not based on anything we have done. It's not based on anything. No, it's based on because of what Jesus Christ has done. And it's so easy to get tangled up and to beat yourself down because you what? you have fallen down, you have not listened, or whatever the case may be, and there's a thing before you, and you can look at it and go, man, I'm doomed. It's over, you know. No, it's not over. No. What does it say in James? The what? Count it all joy when you what? Fall into divers temptation. Why? Because you go and you put your faith back on what Jesus Christ has done for you. Where ought to be anyways. About Him paying that price for you. And that what He did up on that cross is sufficient for you. Sufficient for you personally. Now, where it can get in a place where we get hung up on is the count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, or a place where you is it simply can become a place where it becomes pride and unbelief, where you don't yet grab a hold on it. I think I was talking to somebody this past week, and I remember them talking to me about, he was talking to people, and where he saw people got hung up on was that they were too bad. You know, they were too bad for the Lord to love them or to accept them or any of these things. And I remember telling him that, look, man, God's grace, you're not bigger than God's grace. Okay, you're not bigger than God's grace. You're not badder than God's grace. You're not too bad and wicked for God's grace. His grace is sufficient. It's actually to pride to think otherwise that His grace is not sufficient, because it's sufficient. It's more than sufficient. And what can get you hung up on is there it is, that grace. There it is, that gift. There it is, that forgiveness. There it is. It's all laid out right there for you. But yet you don't grab a hold of it and receive it. There He did. I mean, God gave His Son to die up on that cross. Don't take it in vain, in the sense of, I don't know how else to put this, but don't take it in vain in the sense of not accepting it. I mean, there it is. It's like, man, the Lord has some awesome thing for you. You know, to me, it might be like a gun. I mean, I love guns, right? You know, I want to get a new 9mm gun, you know? And if it's like, man, if somebody came up to me and said, hey, Phil, here's a nice Springfield XD or a Glock, you know, 9mm compact gun. I mean, am I going to sit there and go, I just behave too badly. Like, I know what's in my heart and what's in my mind, and I just behave too badly to receive this gun. I cannot receive this gun because I'll beat myself up because I've been so bad. No nonsense, man. I'll be like, woohoo, thank you, man. Awesome. All right, man. Let me see that gun. Let's go get ammo. Let's shoot it right away. You know, this is how we ought to be with that gift that the Lord has given us. This is how we ought to be about that grace and that forgiveness of sins that He has for each and every one of us. I mean, we should be wrapping our arms around it, not letting it go, and just wrestling that thing to the ground and saying, thank you, Lord. I'm going to use that gift You've given me. I'm going to apply that gift You have given me. And thank You, Jesus. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You're talking about the blotting out the handwritings of ordinance against us. That's what it does. That's what it does. And see, it's not based on anything that you have done, folks. Not anything that you have done. Nothing. Nothing. That could be an offense to some, but I don't know. But I'm going, woohoo, thank You, Jesus. I need it. I need it. But I want to hit this part on love because, look, he is talking about having all the mysteries, having all the knowledge, having all these things. But without love, it's what? Nothing. Without love, it's nothing. So what? You have all these knowledge. So what? You have all the mysteries. So what? All these things. But if it ain't for the love, the love of Christ working in you to somebody, to ministering to somebody else, that they can receive that gift that I was just talking about, and that forgiveness, that they can become free in Him and become happy, set at liberty in Him, and walk in that salvation that's given unto them that they can have if they want it. What's the point? I mean, seriously, what's the point? Just to go around, I know more than you. I mean, I remember some of the things being talked about in the meeting where things would be preached. David would preach some of the mysteries unto the church. Why? To edify them so that they can learn of his ways, that they can go walk in it. And what people would do would go take that thing and then just go try to teach to somebody else that it wasn't for, just to show them that how much they knew. And what point was that? It's just pride. It's just a place where somebody to be lifted up. What does the scripture say? What? Knowledge what? Puffeth up. But what? Charity edifieth. Charity edifieth. Look, it's for the good of that here. So I save this thing, I mean, in the sense of, look, I mean, when you go out to minister, do you minister in that agape love of Christ? And I know, and I remember the thing that was being highlighted with that agape love of Christ is one service that Steve is highlighting where he says, what? Let brotherly love continue. And the word let was there because it's not something that you have in you, in your flesh. It's not something naturally you have. No, where does it come from? It comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. And I remember, and what kind of one another thing that's kind of hit me there is that David would preach about the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And I remember this one revival that he was really talking about this. And the thing was, is that, man, he would say this prayer, Lord, pour it in so I can pour it out. Pour it in so I can pour it out. And what he would do is he would go and get filled up by the Lord of all the good things that the Lord had for the people. And he would turn around and he would pour those things out upon the people. And he'd get refilled and rejuvenated. But man, if you take that love, you don't do anything with it. You don't use it to minister his gospel. You don't do it to go and do that which he has to glorify him. And to edify others, that others may know Christ, what point is it? Kind of reminds me of the guy kind of just taking that talent that the Lord has given him and just putting it in the dirt. Just putting it in the dirt. And what happens with the Dead Sea is that water comes in, it doesn't have anywhere to go, and it gets stagnant. There's like no life in it. I don't think there's any life in it. I think there's like a little bug that might live in there. That's about it. And the same thing goes with his love. I mean, if he's there to pour it into us, we ought to be pouring it out to one another. You know, I really look at it, and it's interesting to me as when you see that the Passover, for example, in the Old Testament, and what they would do is they would say, you know, let this be the Passover about what the Lord has done. And this Passover was done year by year, so it would be brought in remembrance what the Lord has done. And there was many times where the river Jordan opened up, and there was time and time again where it would be where they would teach their children and show their children how awesome the Lord is. You know what else that we have? We not only have that testimony in the scripture of what the Lord has done, we have that testimony in our lives of what the Lord has done. And not just on one instance or two instances, but many instances. Many instances. I mean, quite frankly, it could be a daily thing with you. I mean, I know, Brad, you're sitting here talking about work this morning. I know I've talked about work. I know I've talked, sat up here, talked about many things of how the Lord had delivered me. Why? Because you can have that too. And that your testimony of what the Lord has done, you can go and tell others about. Not that you be lifted up in pride because you're something. No, because you're nothing. But He is awesome and He is everything. And they can have that too. They can have that too. I mean, I am no different from anybody else. I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. That's all I am. But Jesus Christ is awesome, and He loved me anyways. And He paid the price for my sin. And not only did He pay the price for my sin, but He did a mighty work in my life. And ministered that love unto me and love unto others around me. And to my family. I mean, praise be to God. It's a point that we ought to remember. And it's so easily, I know that scripture in Hebrews, you're talking Hebrews a little bit, but in Hebrews the one, that what that so easily, the sin that so easily besets us. You're going to just replace that word sin and put unbelief there. You can just put unbelief there. Because it's so easy to see that your failings or the things that are in front of you are just way too big. Or you've screwed up way too bad. Or any of those things. We ought to be remembering how awesome our Lord is and how awesome our God is and how He yet delivered me out of that moment. He forgave me for those things. And He has done it time and time and time again. I think last week I remember talking about how I am a professional at messing things up. I am. You give me something perfect, I will screw it up in a heartbeat. I am like Johnny on the spot on like messing things up. You might give me that XD, I'll find a way to jam it up and maybe screw up a part, so you know. Or the Glock, it doesn't matter, it's just how I am. But see, Jesus is bigger than that, and that's what it's about. See, He was perfect. And He was perfect in His love towards us, to His whole creation. He's perfect in that. Now I'm going to keep reading in chapter 13. I don't know. I might be done a little early. I don't know. I'll keep reading. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. That's a mouthful right there about charity. I remember one of the points that we've been highlighting is that not easily provoked. And how Davey had said this thing when he was doing the understanding of spiritual gifts. And that is, he said, see, easily, not easily provoked doesn't mean that you don't get angry. It's not that you don't get angry. It's that you don't knock somebody on their backside when you do get angry. See, that's the provoking there. That's not, I mean, not easily provoked there is a place where it says even in Scripture, what? Be angry and what? Sin not. A lot of times that anger really, quite frankly, has nothing to do with that person, but the spirit behind it. So where do you take that battle? In the spirit. In his kingdom. I think we talked about last week, was it not, about our weapons of warfare are what? Not carnal, Paul was talking about in his epistle. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I'm kind of going backwards a little bit. But puffed up is the place where you want to be lifted up high. You want to be the center of attention. You want to be the place to look at me, look at me, look at me. High-minded. It's pretty simple, isn't it? I'm big, I'm bad, I'm awesome. No, man, charity has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. It envieth not. It doesn't want to. It doesn't. The place where you envy somebody, you put them in a high esteem, you want what they have, you envy them. I don't know how else to describe it. This was probably a bad saying of mine on this front, but it's you envy that person, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I actually remember a movie about it, but I'm not going to go into that movie. That was a pretty, it was a good example of envy, but it was pretty disturbing. Seeketh not her own. It's not about get themselves getting it. I mean, I don't know how many times one of the biggest things that we got to put off is what? Selfishness. All about me. Give me, give me, give me. I want. Seeketh not her own. It prefers, charity prefers others before itself. That's what it does. Prefers others before itself. Thinketh no evil. How many times have you put on a motive on somebody that was not there at all? You know, I look at that, I just put on a motive that was not there at all on that person's part. They're just being them. And yet you could come up with all kinds of ways how they're, and I mean, they are taking their time to be evil against you. They are taking their time to really go after you and attack you. And that's not what they're about at all. That's not what they're about at all. How many times you've done with this with the minister? The minister saying, hey man, you got an issue, you got to get over it. Oh, he's just like beating me down so he can be lifted up. He's just doing this to do this, or she's just doing that to do this. Who the heck do they think they are? And they're going, no, I want you on the other side. I want you where the Lord would have you be. I want you free of that nonsense, and yet you're putting all this evil upon them. How much do we do this with the Lord? It was interesting. I was watching Martin Luther last night, or Luther is the name of the movie, not Martin Luther, and it's about Luther, and he's going in, and he's battling in the beginning of the morning. And he's talking about, you know, I wish there were no God. He's just ready to just, he's righteous and I am not. And he's just ready to just damn us to hell and all these things. And they were Catholic. So the father comes in and goes, it looks like you're struggling a bit there. I don't know the exact words, because one of the things that he says is, he said, It's not that God is angry. God's not angry with you. You're angry with Him. It was such a just a truth statement. I loved it. Let's do it. The Lord is merciful. He's not angry with you. He's not begrudging you, you know. I'm adding those parts into it. But it was just the truth. And he went and he told him about Christ and told him to go learn. It's a great movie, actually. And he goes and tells him to learn the New Testament and read it. And he goes and learns the New Testament. Then he starts preaching the freedom and the salvation and the love of the Lord to these people that were condemned. These people that were looking at the Catholic Church for salvation because they were the Roman Catholic Church were saying that that was only salvation in the Roman Catholic Church. And he was going, no, that's not what the scripture says. And he starts bringing the salvation. I mean, he starts bringing how salvation is in Christ Jesus. And it was an interesting, a very good movie. I'm kind of getting sidetracked on that point. But is that not the case? I mean, how many times that you sit there and you put this motive on the Lord, kind of going back to my point, putting this motive on the Lord, that is not there. I mean, the Lord didn't sit there and say, you know, I'm going to bring my, God didn't say, you know what, I'm going to send my son down to walk perfectly, to become that perfect sacrifice for the whole creation. So that he can throw everybody in hell. No, that was not his point. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And you can be a part of his salvation. He sent his son down there for you that you can have salvation. So that you can have eternal life. I mean, he's not there to save your flesh. That thing's cursed. It's going down to the ground. He came to what? Save your soul. He came to save your soul. And some of the process that we go through is getting rid of the nonsense of that flesh that our soul's been cleaving onto and held to high esteems. So he will allow certain things to happen so we get over that crap and get shed of that nonsense and to walk into him. He's not the one that puts tribulation on us. That's not our Lord. It's not our God. He will allow tribulation to happen so that you trust Him in. And your faith gets built on Him because He came to save your soul. He loved you. In Him is light and there is no darkness at all. Why else would He send His Son to die for you? Why else would he do it? What did Davy say years ago? Look, he's called you to what? Succeed. Not to fail. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now we get an inkling. Now we get a part of, you know, we understand the Lord's love. But when you go see the Lord face to face, we have His word here. But when you go see the Lord face to face,
That means you see him. You actually, you know, he's right there. You hold conversation with him. You'll know. The prophet says it vanished away, but that charity never faileth. It was always that love of Christ and love of the Father and what He's done that we may have a chance, that we may have that salvation, that we may have that eternal life, that we might have that grace, lay our hands upon it. And it's something we ought to remember and not let go of and walk in this charity. He's given us it to walk in. We can actually walk in this love. Endureth all things, hopeth all things, believeth all things. That's what the Lord wants for you. Or else why would He give it to you? That's what He wants you to have. And we can yet have them. We can receive of it. Or we can choose to be in pride and unbelief and not receive any of it. I mean, that choice comes down to us, quite frankly. That's a choice that we can all choose to do. And it's one thing to say, yeah, I know. But it's another thing to actually get up and walk in that and say, praise God, thank you for that grace. It's another thing to say, yeah, I believe that He died on the cross for my sins, but still live there in condemnation. Still live there and not receive that gift. It's just like somebody handing me that XD. I can say, man, that's a nice gun. Thank you so much. And then go put it on the shelf and never use it. Or I can take that XD9 and go, man, let's go get some bullets and have some fun. Or it could be candy. It could be whatever the case may be. I really like guns. So I like shooting guns. They go pow and they make holes in things. They're pretty fun. But that's how we need to be with the love of Christ. It actually needs to be the thing that we seek out the most is Him. We need to have our eyes set upon Him, upon what He has done, what He's able to accomplish. Because if we have our eyes set on those things, what can knock us off? Nothing. I don't care what it is. Nothing. I don't care how bad you screwed up. That's the biggest one we fall into, is it not? Public enemy number one. Stand up, look in the mirror. There it is. But He's bigger than that. Praise God. Because I am one big screw up. I have to tell you that. I have showed that time and time and time again. But He showed me He's way bigger than me. Praise God. And you know what? He's way bigger than you. Praise God. And you ain't too bad for His grace. You're not. I don't care how much you screwed up. You're not bigger than His grace. And if anybody tells you otherwise, it's a lie straight from the pits of hell. It's a lie. Absolute lie. And it's not going to be that, oh, the Lord can work in your life and not in mine. That's a lie too. Oh, the Lord has cast me off. No, that's a lie too. It's more like we casted Him off. That's why we're having the trouble. See, folks, there's nothing that's going to come between you and walking in the Lord. There is nothing. The only thing that's going to come between you and walking in that grace and that love and that provision that the Lord has, the only thing that's going to keep you from doing that is you. And we can yet wrestle that down, grab a hold of that gift. That's something to get excited about. That's something to get excited about. That's something you want to go and you want to go tell others about, is Jesus Christ and what he has done. You don't want to put that talent in the dirt anymore. No, you want to go and tell others. Look what the Lord has done. Here, it's for you. It was amazing watching that movie Luther last night, because when he got a hold of that truth, he loved sharing it with others. He loved. He didn't really care about the persecution in the midst of it either. The Roman Catholic Church, he became a big old radar to those guys, I tell you what. But he got so serious that he wrote it down in the common language of the Germans so that all those people that were without could have. What driven him to do that was the love of Christ. What driven him to endure that was the love of Christ. What's going to drive you to endure the things that you're faced up to is the love of Christ. How yet you can yet put up with one another and put up with those that are without is going to be by the love of Christ. It's going to be something that we can all have and walk in. But we got to understand where it comes from, who it comes from, and who's it about. Because it's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he has done. And you know the biggest thing about falling and count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, and when you count it all joy, is that you put, it's an amazing thing, because what gets expounded to you, having an understanding of this, is what gets expounded to you is the love and the grace and the mercy and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you know that with a confidence. And when you know that and you have that, that you can share to others, that they can know it and have it. And when you see them struggling and them battle and them going through a thing that you don't think, where they don't think they can get through the other side, you can believe for them. You can intercede for them in prayer. You can go to battle for them in the Spirit. It's an amazing thing. And it's a fun thing to do. A fun thing to do. It's something that I have been learning, and it's been awesome. It's actually a lot of times easier to go to battle for you than myself when I see the big old F in front of me on failure right before me. But yet, I grab a hold of that grace, grab a hold of that gift, grab a hold of that love, and rejoice and triumph over all the nonsense that was before me. We're done.